Congress, in its wisdom, has prohibited pirate operators, that is, people who operate without licenses, from ever owning a low-power station. On the other hand, that same pirate could own, for example, WCBS-TV in New York City.
Hi, this is John Hall. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 ACRA.
The Cairo Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Cairo, New York, for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Cairo Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Cairo Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Cairo history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Cairo Historical Society at cairohistsociety@yahoo.com.
The sound you hear is a recording of the warning siren in case of an imminent nuclear attack.
If this was an actual attack warning, would you be prepared?
Would your family be prepared?
If not, CA Survive All, Civil Defense approved, steel and concrete, basement type, fallout shelter.
The shelter, along with a basic equipment kit, affords you and your family maximum protection.
Survive All shelters are FHA approved.
No money down, 5 years to pay.
Horrible though it may be, this sound may someday become a reality.
Be prepared. See a survival shelter today.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Rob Gellis of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA, that's 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Sean Quinones. Originally from Thomasville, Georgia, Sean grew up in Columbia County and graduated from Taconic Hills High School in Claverack, New York. He studied at Hudson Valley Community College and worked for a time in corporate America. Cutting hair was a hobby he did for himself and his brother, and it just seemed to make sense to learn more and hone his skills to make it a profession. Just over 3 years ago, Sean opened the Groomsman Barbershop in Greenville, New York. He also enjoys traveling and spending time in nature. Bermuda was great for jet skiing and diving. The Outer Banks, North Carolina, had great side-by-side trails through the sand dunes along the ocean, and he loves the Northern Adirondacks for hiking, snowmobiling, and ATV riding. He has also become increasingly interested in shooting for sport, going to outdoor ranges, and firing off at targets. Last but not least, Sean enjoys eating great food, and it's a passion that he and his fiance share together. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Hello, welcome to the show, Sean.
So,
how are you doing,
Sean? I'm interested in the wild horses that you saw on the beach. What was that like?
Oh, it was great. That's one of the big features of the Outer Banks in North Carolina. Is they kind of take you on the side by sides through the sand dunes and through nature, and you get kind of a history tour of the Outer Banks, and then you finally make your way out to the beaches of Corolla. And they just have these wild horses that just run around the beach and gallop in the water. It was great. And you get to go get so close to them. As long as you don't touch them, you get to stand pretty close to them.
You're a hairdresser, Sean?
A barber.
A barber. Now, what's the difference? Because I'm a layman when it comes to that.
Okay, so a cosmetologist and a barber, even though they're similar, they're different. Cosmetology is taking it a step farther than barbering. You learn dyeing hair, different hairstyles with longer hair, like more female hair. Barbers are generally it's shorter hair. There's not a lot of dyeing involved. Chemical processes are not involved. You don't have to relax hair. You don't have to perm hair. You just simply cut it into a gentleman's hairstyle.
Right.
And also, barbers are trained how to use straight razors, whereas cosmetologists are not. So I wouldn't let a cosmetologist give you a straight razor shave.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Have you ever been like halfway through cutting somebody's hair and you're like, I'm making a pig's ear of this. This hasn't gone well.
Wait, can you repeat the question?
Have you ever like been halfway through a haircut and you're like, oh no, this isn't what the guy wants. I've messed this up.
Not
good answer.
Not recently, but yeah, if I think back to the barber school days and first starting in the first barber shop I worked at, yeah, I've definitely had a couple instances where halfway through the haircut, I was questioning if this was going to go the way I planned.
Well, so I wanted to ask you, Sean, how does one become a barber?
Well, you apply for barber school. It's basically like a trade vocational school, like a welding school or something to that nature. And it's a program. It's about 7 to 8 months long, and it's generally anywhere from 25 to 34 hours a week. So it's essentially part-time to full-time job, and it is 4 to 5 days a week. So you go through that program, and they get you ready for your New York State board or whatever state you're participating in. And then you have to take your state board where you are supervised and you're timed on different procedures that you have to be able to master. And you have to be able to perform them efficiently and within the parameters of the state sanitation guidelines. And there are some strict sanitation guidelines when it comes to performing any type of service on someone.
Now, tell us an interesting story somebody told you when they were sitting in your chair.
Oh, my. There's many. And I have,
because I know that you guys get told stuff.
Oh, we do. Now I have to sit back here and I have to think and go back in the memories and make sure that whatever information I divulge is not too personal. I don't want to let anybody's name out, you know?
What would Mike say when he sits down?
Mike's a cool cat, you know? Mike's usually, he's pretty calm, cool, and collective. He doesn't tell us a lot of stories.
Does he ever tell you stories like, I wish I was Andy or something?
I'm doing this radio show with a Scottish guy. He's so freaking cool. Make me like him. Here's a picture.
I wish I was Andy, but he may have said, I wish I had Andy's accent.
Yeah.
Open up a lot of avenues for people.
Now, and Sean, so you had mentioned, you know, you're at barber school and you get assessed on the different procedures and tasks that you have to do. Among these things you had to show you could do was applying leeches, pulling teeth, surgery, any of that sort of stuff. None of that.
Wow. I see what you're doing. You're going back. You guys did your research. You're going back into barber history.
That's right.
When barbers were, this is going back to the Egyptian days, at Ticinus Manus.
See, I don't know any of this, by the way. I'm learning right now. So,
oh, stay tuned. Keep learning. Yeah, barbers used to be called, actually, they were barber surgeons. And a lot of people don't know that the red, white, and blue stripes on the barber pole are actually a signification of blood, veins, and bandages.
Really?
Yeah, barbers used to do bloodletting, and they used to also be, it went alongside with dentistry. They would pull teeth. They would perform. They would take blood. There was all kinds of things they did amongst cutting your hair.
They would do a 2-for-1 deal. You need a shave. You need some bloodletting. So wham, bam, we'll do this.
Short back and slash.
I am happy that things have changed.
Yeah.
Short back and purge.
So Sean, what is your barbershop like? If you know, the listeners listening now are like, hey, Greenville, this groomsman barbershop, this sounds pretty cool. Describe to them, what is your place like?
I would like to think that my place is a rustic, very manly, laid back, relaxed environment where a guy can kind of come in and, I don't know. It's an old school feel. A man feels like a man, and you can sit back and you can just have a conversation. And
cigar,
man to man. It's Mike. You know what it looks like inside. It's like a rustic hunting cabin.
It's rustic. It's really cool on the inside. It's a great group of guys, very welcoming and friendly, and they do phenomenal work. Hey, they can cut my hair and they can make me look halfway decent. And that in and of itself is a monumental task. So I really appreciate
where
that.
Is it? What, give us a wee plug. Let's give them a plug. Where is it exactly?
11 Garland Lane, Greenville, New York. 12083.
It's right next to the old Family Dollar, around the corner from the Dollar General on Route 32.
The next time I'm in Mike's, I'm going to pop in.
Pop
I'm
in.
Going to ask for a haircut.
Do a shave. Maybe we could get a couple shaves.
I hope you do, Andy.
Yeah, we could do
I
a
hope
shave.
You do.
Do
shaves. Yes. Yeah, we do hot towel shaves.
Yeah, I've never had a shave.
Well, then I'm going to be the first.
Yeah, you're going to break my duck, mate. Well done.
I know what that means. Yes, I am.
This experience, Andy, is going to be sublime.
It is going to be sublime.
I like where you went there.
And Sean, that's the first song that you would take on your Catskill Cabin getaway is Sublime by Santeria. So tell us about that.
I grew up, I guess it has to go back to the era I grew up in. I'm 41. I'll be 42. I went to Taconic Hills School District, was out in the country in Columbia County. And we kind of all grew up with Sublime and Stained and Green Day. And I don't know, it's just a comfort song for me, I guess. I like Sublime's vibe.
Papa.
That was Santeria by Sublime. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Sean Quinones, and we are discussing the songs and items that we would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXE is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXE.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, Sean.
Yes.
When you go to the Catskill, in the cabin in the Catskills, your first item you'd like to take is marinated goodies.
Steaks.
Absolutely. If I'm going to be out in a cabin in the woods and I'm anywhere near a charcoal grill or a smoker, yes, I'm going to marinate some good steaks. I'm going to cook them to medium rare, medium, and I'm going to go to town. It's going to be good eating.
What cut of beef do you prefer for a steak?
I prefer filet or sirloin.
Wow, so you're not messing around?
No.
T-bone? You like T-bone?
I do. I do like T-bone as well. My favorites are the sirloin and the filet.
Yeah. What kind of marinade do you use?
Oh, all homemade. I would have to give up my secret recipes.
Really?
I usually do everything homemade. I'm part Spanish and part Egyptian, and my fiance's Vietnamese and Chinese. So most of the marinades that I use are homemade, and we usually mix Spanish and Asian spices together, and I don't know. It comes out great to me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, I have a bit of trivia for you, gentlemen.
Oh, whoa.
The Big Texan Steak Ranch in Amarillo, Texas, is known for a steak free to anyone who in 1 hour or less can eat it along with a bread roll with butter, a baked potato, shrimp cocktail, a salad. Otherwise, the meal costs $72. My question to you, gentlemen, how big do you think this steak is?
Hmm. Okay, Sean.
The Big Texan Steak Ranch Challenge.
I'm going to go, see. 11 ounce, 60. I'm going to go with 64 ounces.
64, Andy?
The number that came into my mind was 52.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I'm going to go higher than that, actually. I'm going to go 82.
Whew.
You know,
that's a big steak.
There's a bit of psychic going on between you two guys. It's a 72 ounce.
Oh,
72. We were close.
That's 4.5 pounds of cow muscle. That's a big dinner. But, you know, speaking of cow muscle and beef and steak, I wanted to ask you, have you ever had, Sean, a Philly cheesesteak sandwich?
I have, yes.
Have you ever had a good one?
I've had decent ones, but I wouldn't say a good one.
Yeah.
I've heard people that have gone and had them, and they rave about them. But every time I have one, I'm slightly disappointed.
But so I wanted to ask you about that for a natural segue into Motown Philly Boys to Men, who are from Philadelphia. They're from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And why that song?
Once again, it just brings back the nostalgia and memories of childhood. Boys to Men, I grew up listening to all their records, and a lot of their songs are a bit slower than Motown Philly. It's like more soul, music for the soul, I guess. A lot of feeling, and a lot of their songs tell stories. But Motown Philly just stands out because it's just a cool, fun, hip song that makes you want to get up, dance, and feel good. And it really, I don't know, it just explains that it really captures that whole, I guess, R&B soul genre of music for that time.
Don't matter, just don't curse.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this?
Yeah, yo, what's up,
y'all? What's up, boys? Boys are in effect, yeah, and it's about time. Yo, let's rip this up.
Boys to Men, Boys to Men, Boys to Men. shit. Nate, Mike, Sean, the one. You know the mentality. Keep flipping the gift.
Must find by his honest now. Watch us do this. Live and direct from Philly town.
Rapping hype and we can get down.
We are ready to roll, so now the world will know that we love.
Back in school we used to dream about this every day. Could it really happen? Or do dreams just fade away?
We started singing that bass in the
sound
smooth.
So we started.
One day back in Philly, four guys wanted to sing. They came up to me, I said, but what's your name?
What's the man?
Hey, you know what I'm saying? Then I said, all right, fellas, well, let me see what you can do. And then a smile when they won you and said, yo, Mike, check this out. See if this one moves.
That was Motown Philly by Boyz II Men. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Sean Quinones, and we are discussing the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, Sean, your next item is a four-wheeler. So tell us about this. What kind of four-wheeler and why?
I have a Can-Am Outlander 650 four-wheel drives four-wheeler, and I love it. I love it because it gives me access to all the areas and trails and terrain that are difficult to get to in a car. If you have a car, I have a Jeep, but The four-wheeler gets me anywhere. I mean, it's like the ultimate hiker's machine. You can go anywhere. You can see nature. You can climb the highest peaks. And it's just very enjoyable.
I'm scared of them and love them at the same time.
It's a healthy thing. That's healthy.
I'm scared to, in case I fall off or I fall, I do something and it falls on top of me. But at the same time, I want to have a shot when I'm at my friend's camps, you know, I just want to do it, but I don't have one incidentally, but,
You absolutely should take advantage of jumping on a four wheeler, when you're at your friend's camp. They are designed for climbing mountains, rough terrain trails. The center of gravity is very low. They're a lot harder to flip than you would think. I've done some amazing things on my four-wheeler, and I have yet to flip it. Not saying that it can't happen. I pray it doesn't. But you should give it a go. Nothing to lose. One life to live.
Now, I'm just envisioning, Sean, you're at on your Catskill Cabin getaway, and you're bombing around on your four-wheeler, and you've got it timed just perfectly. You're careening toward this cliff, and you're going 50 miles an hour, and you veer the four-wheeler and grab this rope and swing off into some great Catskill lake, and sitting there waiting for you is your jet ski. Tell us about your jet ski.
The jet ski, absolutely. Goodness, I wish that it would be that scenario that you said. I would absolutely love to envision myself climbing the peaks on the four-wheeler, jumping onto a rope swing, and just magically gliding onto that jet ski. That the jet ski is a lot of enjoyment. That is the number one thing that myself and my fiance do in the summertime. There's nothing like it. We've had a boat, and that was fun. But I feel like if you had kids, a boat would be more fun. When it's just you and your significant other, you're both adults and you just get to, like, you just go anywhere you want. You have so much more freedom on a jet ski, and it's a little faster than a boat. You get places faster. It's great for exploring, and it's super easy to dock anywhere.
I've been on a jet ski. It's really fun. It really is. What I like about it the most is when you inevitably fall off, the plug comes out and it stops.
I yes. Like that. Yes. That's the best feature. You don't have to chase it.
Yeah. Swimming after it.
Oh my gosh. Jeez.
Now, can I just say something? Jet ski is a brand name. Did you know that?
I didn't
yes,
know.
Yes, it is. And I don't have a jet ski, technically.
It's a personal watercraft.
Yes, PWC.
I didn't know that.
So jet skis are actually a make of personal watercraft. So what do you have, Sean?
He's absolutely right. Andy, you're right. Jet ski is made actually by Kawasaki. They make jet skis. I have a Sea-Doo, which is a PWC, but it's not technically, I guess you would call it, a jet ski. It's a personal watercraft made by Sea-Doo.
Yes.
So I have two Sea-Doos.
Two of them.
Does the name Clayton Jacobson mean anything to both of you?
No, nothing.
The name is very familiar. I'm trying to... Andy, who is he?
Clayton Jacobson is a Norwegian-American inventor who invented the personal watercraft, right? And he sued Kawasaki and won eventually in 1991, $21.5 million. For the rights to the jet ski, right?
Oh.
And this is the reason he came to invent it. After a minor crash on a motorbike, he lay in an irrigation ditch in order to rest his bones. He mentioned to his friend that he would love to have a way to enjoy the exhilaration and excitement of a motorcycle without the danger of falling onto hard ground. His idea for a motorcycle water vehicle was born.
Get out of town.
Kawasaki actually made it, and he sued them and won $21.5 million in 1991.
That's incredible.
Well, you taught me something.
I want,
so there you are.
Did he have a patent on the idea?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Oh.
He actually made about 20 prototypes.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first prototypes were like children's scooters. You know, you'd be standing up on the water and you'd be holding onto the bars and you'd be like almost like a surfboard type thing.
Oh, like a stand-up jet ski, like
yeah,
a wave.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
So,
Sean, you
eventually got it made and Kawasaki took the name and then he said, oh, wait a minute, give me my dues.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they did.
Sean, you mentioned you have two jet skis.
Yes.
Now, I've seen some jet skis that are two-seaters. Do you mm-hmm. have two-seaters, or is it one for you and one for your fiance?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
We have two jet skis. One is a three-seater.
Three-seater. I didn't know that was a thing.
I'm in the beginning on that.
Yeah, a three-seater with suspension. It's a Sea-Doo GTXR 155 three-seater with suspension. And then mine is a Sea-Doo GTX 155 two-seater without suspension.
Now, in New York State, you need a license to drive one now, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Do you need to take lessons and stuff?
You can go to most of your local yacht clubs, and they have a safety, like a boater safety course, that they require you to have in order to drive a jet ski.
Now, does a passenger have to have, or is it just the person who's driving it?
Just the operator.
Right. Okay.
The operator.
And where do you usually take your jet skis?
We usually use our jet skis on the Hudson River. We live about a half mile from the boat launch, if that. So we usually go right down, launch from Coxsackie, and we'll go as far south as Poughkeepsie, New Paltz, and we'll go as far north as Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
So, well, I'll keep an eye out for you because I live in Poughkeepsie. I'll let me know and I'll stand in the bridge, the walkway, and wave to you so that you can see me.
And so, Sean, I'm curious. So you get to Poughkeepsie, you get where you're going. Do you have like a bag of clothes where you dock your jet skis and then like change and go to a restaurant or go to stores? Or is it pretty much you just tour the Hudson and see the sights and then come back?
A little bit of both. Some days we just cruise around and tour and check things out. Other days I'll bring a backpack. Because whenever we go on a long trip, we usually take the three-seater with suspension because that jet ski is designed for comfort and you don't get wet unless you want to.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So we'll bring a backpack and we'll throw a shirt and like a pair of shorts and we'll just put them on over what we're wearing and go to whatever restaurant or shopping place that we want to go.
Do you find that you can make really good time in a jet ski compared to like taking the thruway or the roads?
Yes and no. It all depends on how far the place is. Generally, it's a straight drive because you're on a river and there's not many intersections or turns. But we get to Kingston from the Coxsackie boat launch in about 43 to 46 minutes. On the jet skis, as opposed to the cars, I guess it's about the same.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
That you would go that far.
That's
now, do you need, will a tank of gas get you there and back?
To Poughkeepsie?
No, say like, so if you go from Coxsackie to Kingston, for example, would that round trip be enough gas? You know, enough gas in your tank?
Yes, there's different modes on the Sea-Doos. There's eco mode, regular, and there's a sport mode. If you're in sport mode, absolutely not. you're gonna take a tank of gas to get there and a tank of gas to get back.
Right.
But if you go in eco mode, which is about 35 to 37 miles per hour, yeah, you'll go there and back on one tank of gas.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so you're doing this with your fiance, riding on jet skis and eating great food and loving life. And your next song that you'd like to take and listen to on your Catskill Cabin Getaway is She's Everything by Brad Paisley. Why this song?
Well, that song is a song that means a lot to myself and my fiance. And I told her, you know, years ago when we first got together, almost a decade ago, that every time I heard that song, it made me think about her just because of the lyrics and some of the phrases that he says in there. You know, she's a lover when she's loving and she's a fighter when she's fighting. If that doesn't remind me of her, I don't know what does.
She's going to be laughing.
Yeah. Come on, guys. We all have a significant other. You guys know how it is. Yes. A woman is caring and nurturing when they need to be, but they're also very vivacious and full of life. And boy, when they mean something, you better buckle up.
Yeah. pair of jeans. She looks great in cheap sunglasses. She looks great in anything. She's, I want a piece of chocolate. Take me to a movie. She's, I can't find a thing to wear. Now and then she's moody. She's a Saturn with a sunroof, with her brown hair blowing. She's a soft place to land and a good feeling known. She's a warm conversation that I wouldn't miss for nothing. She's a fighter when she's mad, and she's a lover when she's loving. And she's everything I ever wanted and everything I need. When I talk about her, I go on and on and on. Saturday out on the town, and a church girl on Sunday. She's a cross around her neck and a cuss word cause it's Monday. She's a bubble bath and candles. Baby, come and kiss me. She's a one glass of wine and she's feeling kinda tipsy. She's the giver I wish I could be, and the stealer of the covers. She's a picture in my wallet and my unborn children's mother. She's the hand that I'm holding when I'm on my knees and praying. She's the answer to my prayer, and she's the song that I'm playing. And she's everything I ever wanted and everything I need. When I talk about her, I go on and on and on. 'Cause she's everything. She's that wooden rocking chair I want rocking right beside me. Every day that passes, I only love her more. Yeah, she's the one that I'd lay down my own life for. And she's everything I ever wanted and everything I need. She's everything. Everything I ever wanted and everything I need. She's everything.
That was She's Everything by Brad Paisley. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Sean Quinones, and we are discussing the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, Sean, your next item is a rifle. What kind of rifle?
I would bring my AR-15 and my shotgun, my Mossberg 500 shotgun.
Now, what's the purpose of these? Is it protection? Is it trying to find yourself some meat? Is it fun? All of the above?
It's mainly for fun. Of course, for protection if needed, but mainly for fun. You know, if I'm going to be on a getaway in a cabin in the middle of the woods, why not do a little target practice? Why not do a little bit of shooting while you're out in the woods? Not per se at an animal, but why not do a little shooting?
What is it like what's an AR-15 like to shoot?
A step up from a 22.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of recoil. It's just a lot louder.
But also that there is a difference with the round, right? I mean, feel.
Well, yes, obviously. Because a 22 cal is a smaller round. 5.56 is a bit larger and a lot louder.
And that's what's so incredible about the engineering of the AR-15, right? It's, you know, almost like a military grade weapon that I heard a story. I worked with guys that did construction, and they said, I actually think they were like Vietnam era. And one of these guys was in the army, and the AR-15, I think, is kind of a descendant maybe of the M16. But this guy I worked with, I think it was my boss, said that his drill instructor, his drill sergeant, took an M16 and held the butt on his nose and pulled the trigger to illustrate and shot around to illustrate how little the rifle would recoil, and that you could hold it on your face and you know, but the bullet that it's shooting, as you say, it's not a 22. It's a major round coming out of that thing at a high velocity. So it's just really a marvelous technology.
I get scoped right in the middle of my forehead, in between my eyes, 5 stitches later.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And what were you shooting?
Badly. It was actually a friend of mine was out. I think what they were doing before they went hunting, they were getting their sights ready, and he said, "Hey Andy, you want a shot?" But he wasn't taking care of me, and I foolishly put the scope near my face, and then it recoiled. Ooh. It whacked me right in the middle of the eyes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Blood everywhere.
Jeez.
Had to go to the hospital.
I bet. You definitely want to keep it. You know, you don't want to have your forehead or your eye right on it.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely not.
Now, what's the most powerful gun you've ever shot?
Oh boy. A 50 cal.
Was that a muzzle loader? Cal, or? Right.
I shot a Magnum.
What's that?
I shot a Magnum.
Pistol?
You know the Magnums?
Like the handgun?
Pistol.
Yeah.
Pistol. Oh, I thought we were talking about a rifle.
Oh, no, I don't know the difference.
the most powerful weapon, firearm I've ever shot was a 50 cal rifle, long range rifle.
Right. So that was not a muzzle loader that had like a round that you loaded into it?
No. A 50 cal is more like a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
And that's got a bit of kick.
I had a buddy, we went to my football coach's place in high school. He lived out in the country and had this big hill in the back, and we were target shooting into the hill. And my buddy for Christmas had gotten a 50 cal muzzle loader. And it had like this pistol grip. It was this really cool gun, brand new scope. And, but you know, this 50 caliber bullet, it's just lead, whatever, you know, ramrod down into the thing, and he had black powder, and, it was cool. Ooh. It was like a cannon, but it was cool.
It is a cannon.
Yeah.
That is essentially a cannon. Yeah. Any type of muzzle load. I have a couple of, black powder guns, pistols. They're 44 caliber, but they're black powder. You stuff them, you make your own. You're basically shooting a small cannon
with a single hand in that case.
What's that?
With a single hand in that case, because it's a pistol, you said?
Yes. Yeah. I have a short barrel and I have a long barrel.
Yeah.
And they resemble what a old John Wayne gun would look like from a country western.
Get off your horse and drink your milk.
Absolutely.
I've got a few questions for you guys. First of all, where was the first firearm created? And when was it? Which century, I mean?
I'm gonna say China, 2nd century.
Sean?
Huh. I have no idea. No idea on that.
Firearm, you're gonna have a guess?
No, I'm interested in learning what it is. I want to know.
First firearm was created in China.
Yes.
When black powder was invented in the 9th century.
Too early.
Too early. A bit early.
Okay,
wow.
A couple of more questions for you guys. Sean, you can go first.
Okay.
How much did a Colt 45 cost in 1860?
You know I'm 41, right? No, I'm just kidding. a Colt 45 in 1860. Ooh, 1860. Let's go back. Let's go with $1.
Mike?
I'm going to say $5, Bob.
$20.
No, 20.
Wow.
I should have known that. I should have known that. See, my reference when it comes to pricing things in the late 19th century is Back to the Future 3, where Doc Brown owes Biff Tannen $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse. So if a horse costs $75, so it's like, okay. So I should have said, yeah, you know, a gun's going to be somewhere in between. So that makes sense. $20.
Okay. In 1986, the price of an AK-47 was 15 cows in a town in Kenya. By 2005, it had dropped to how many cows?
What was the original number of cows?
20.
I'm going to say, geez, I don't know, 15? Seems like a lot of cows to equal a gun.
Sean?
Okay, so 1986, the AK-47, to 2000 and what?
Five.
2005, AK-47. It was 20 cows. I'm going to go...
15 cows.
It was 15 cows.
Yes, and it dropped to how many cows for an AK-47?
Okay, so I said 15, so I'll say 10.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 6.
4.
Jeez. Yeah. That's a big drop.
4 cows for an AK-47. But that goes to what you were saying about horses, Mike. It's all about what's important to you in that culture.
Yes. Yeah. Jeez. Well, I'm glad we don't have a barter system here in the United States. It's tricky.
35 Big Macs for an AK-47.
Done. Sold.
Six pizzas.
My goodness.
Now, Sean.
Yep.
Your next song. Hold on, I need to get my list up because my phone went off. Now, your next song, well, your last song actually, is by Stained.
Yes.
It's been a while. So, talk us through it.
I love the sound of Stained, the group. A lot of their songs, a lot of people say that their songs are whiny or sappy, because a lot of their songs do sound a little bit alike.
Well, they're from Boston.
Yeah. But this goes back to, I just like Stained. It takes me back to when I was in high school and we used to have bonfires and just kind of hang out around the campfire at parties, and just everybody kind of hung out and just chilled out, had a couple beers and just listened to music. A couple of my friends growing up played the guitar and we would just sit around the fire and jam out and listen to music. And I love them because they remind me of that time.
Thank you. could hold my head up high. And it's been a while since I first saw you. And it's been a while since I can stand on my own two feet again. And it's been a while since I could call you. Consequences that are rendered. I stretched myself beyond my means. It's been a while since I could say that I wasn't addicted, and it's been a while since I could say I love myself as well. It's been a while since I've gone and things up just like I always do. And it's been a while, but all that seems to disappear. Straight. And it's been a while since I said I'm sorry. And it's been a while since I've seen the way the candles light your face. And it's been a while, but I can still remember just said I'm sorry.
That was It's Been a While by Stained. Good song, good choice. Did you think, guys, that it epitomized the kind of 90s sound?
I definitely think it does.
I think so. Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Major, think so, Mike?
Major 90s flashbacks.
Yeah.
the bittersweet nostalgia of being a high school kid in Western New York.
Yeah. And you were in Philadelphia, Sean?
Yeah. What's that?
Did you go to school in Philadelphia?
No, I went to school in Columbia County.
New York.
Yep, upstate New York.
So you were at Columbia County. That would be like Hudson?
Yeah, Claverick, Hudson area. Yeah,
just round the corner from the radio station.
You got it.
Now, we've reached the end of the show. It's been a fantastic hour playing some of your songs, talking about your items and stuff like that. It's been really great. And I always say to guests, listen, we could talk for hours, and I'm sure we could, and you've still not told us one of your stories from your barber's chair. So the next time you're on, you can tell us a story from the barber's chair. Now,
hey, that's a great idea for a podcast.
It is? Yeah.
Word from the barber's chair. Something like that.
Tales from the barber's chair.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
It was just
a segue. There was a show in Britain years ago, and it was like hairdressers, and it was like a two-way mirror. And obviously they had to get permission, right? But the people were talking to the hairdressers, women, and a lot of them were talking about having affairs and all that, you know?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you, firsthand experience, you hear everything.
Yeah.
You hear it all. But a good barber always keeps it in the barber.
What's said in, it's like Vegas, isn't it? What's said in the barber's chair stays in the barber's chair.
Absolutely, 100%.
So I'll never find out about Mike then. Okay. Now, before you go, Sean, we have one more question for you.
Okay.
And that is,
Sean, how do you take your coffee?
Light and sweet.
Light and sweet. Now, do you like expensive coffees? Just like, what kind of coffee you drink?
Like I said, I'm part Spanish. I like Cafe Bustelo, and I like Boricua is the name of the coffee. They're both Spanish coffees. And as of lately, my fiance has got me hooked on this Vietnamese coffee, and it's very strong. But I forget the name of it because I can't pronounce it.
Oh, that's another thing we need to talk about in the next